For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijin Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinidal Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Hello, or get that to all of our PNG Chiefs fans out there. You must be very happy with your business signing, but welcome everyone to Nijin Footy Fridays. My name is Sam Wykes, and with me this week, he is back from all of the work that he's been doing, Chinidal Arona, the Cook Island champ.
Tiana Penatani must have got you off to a good start to the week with Monday show.
Are you worried?
No. Are you worried? I shouldn't be worried. Are you worried?
Guys, I'm on that many shows here. I can't be worried. But nah, she was amazing out there. So big thank you to Tiana Benathani Gray. But we do have our Cook Island colleague back, Tinidale. Big show planned.
Yes, huge show here on Nijin Footy Fridays. We had round 24 kickoff last night. The Roosters versus the Penrith Panthers. The top of the table clash. We will talk about that game very shortly. But again, some more news across NRL with Murray Taulagi departing the NRL and heading to French rugby. We'll touch on that. We'll also touch on Brian To'o and get my views on the player 006 signing for PNG Chiefs in 2028, the man himself, Beza. And then we also have our usual superstar guest in Sala Tongatuki and Nemani Nondolo Kunudjani joining us on Nijin Footy to talk all things rugby league and rugby union.
Yeah, plenty to get through. Looking forward to this one. Let's get straight into it.
Bulavanaka, Smark, Hermano, Dukatoko, Nawangani Tuase from the Sydney Roosters, and you're listening to Nijin Footy.
See, rugby league, never a day goes by in rugby league where there's not big news and can't get any bigger than this.
Yes, Brian To'o, after he played his 150th NRL match, then comes out with another grenade and says he is departing the Penrith Panthers in 2028 and will be joining the PNG Chiefs as player 006. So great work to Brian To'o, and yeah, really, really happy with him. Really happy for him, and he reunites with his former teammate and best man, Jerome Luai. I just think it's a huge get for PNG Chiefs and for the people of PNG. I think having a player like Brian To'o, you know, four-time premiership champion, you know, state of origin player as well, represented Samoa, I think not only will he bring quality on the field, he'll bring that energy in the camp, in the environment, with his playing squad as well.
Yeah, how important is it to have characters like Brian in a PNG style of camp where it's going to be, like, I guess, monotonous, the same thing every day there, and you need characters to be able to break up the day-to-day routine? Like, how important is someone like his energy is going to be for their performances?
Yeah, look, I've had the pleasure to speak in front of the Penrith Panthers a number of times now, and Beza brings this energy in the room where it just relaxes everyone. And it's the way that he carries himself and, you know, has a bit of a joke here and there. Yeah, we had a team photo the other day, just as we're finishing up a presentation, and he's there doing the splits in the back, and everyone's just like laughing when we see the photo. But he brings that energy where, you know, in the NRL bubble, it can get quite serious, and yeah, and it's very intense. Whereas when you bring in characters like Beza, like Sunia Taruva, Jerome Luai, those characters that just make everyone let everyone relax because of the way that, you know, us Pacific Islander people are sometimes. And you know, on the back of that, he's also been very successful on the field. So he's found the right balance on how to be a character, but also how to be a professional athlete at the same time. And having that person in the camp at PNG Chiefs, I think it's only going to be bring great things.
Do you know what made me laugh the most? Is the fact that he signs whenever it was on that day, and then the next day he still brings his rubbish from home.
Yeah.
He still brings his rubbish from home and chucks it in the skip bin at Penrith after signing his biggest deal ever. So it just shows he's not changing for anyone.
It was more the reaction after when he sees someone filming him and then he's there just waving like this. I was like, typical Bizza. But yeah, look, a great signing for PNG, and I'm sure all Papua New Guinea people would be happy that they've gained a player in Brian Tall.
Nice, nice. And who do you think's next? You got 006, but who do you think is going to be 007?
Well, there's been a bit of hype around this 007.
Is it going to be a number 7? Is that sort of the marketing plan around it?
Well, they've got their 6 in Jerome Luai. They've got Zach Lomax, Alex Johnston. So they've got their backline and Bizza there. Matty Lees, Connor Watson. And now they are needing a fair few forwards, but that number 7 will be the missing key. That will be the piece. And I watched the game last night where the Sydney Roosters are yet to lock down that number 7 that really took it to Nathan Cleary.
Sammy Walker, are you?
Well, you don't want that kid to be on the market come November 1st. So Sydney Roosters, Uncle Nick, come on, man.
Get the checkbook out.
Get the job done.
Now, love it. And another big sign for PNG Chiefs. Perfect. We'll have more of those signings, of course, here on Nation Footy. But we finally have a rugby league convert going over to rugby union.
Murray Taulangi.
Murray Taulangi. How good is this? For me.
for you. Probably not for the Cowboys and, you know, Tor Samoa and Queensland. I think he's been a great servant to the game of rugby league. But again, the opportunity to play rugby union across the world, being in such a global game, I think it's just a good example that, players have the option to explore playing rugby union, but also getting the opportunity to take his family to France and play the other code, rugby union. So, I'm more than happy to see a player in Murray Taulangi take that opportunity, and we wish him all the best.
I think, I don't know how to pronounce it, I'll let you pronounce it. It's V-A-N-N-E-S. Is it Vaness? Vaness.
No, I reckon it's Vaner.
Vaner. Vaner. I like that. Yeah, so they were in Div 2 last season. They've been promoted to Div 1. So, they've got the checkbook out there because they need some star players to be able to go against those heavyweights like Toulon and Toulouse, but great signing for them.
Let's get into the footy game last night, and then we'll go into round 24, what games to look out for. I want to hear your views, but then I want to chat about this third v fourth place game.
We'll get to that.
And the NRL tossing up that view. But let's get on to last night. The Penrith Panthers took on the Sydney Roosters. This game was played in Parramatta at the home of Penrith Panthers, or their interim home, given that their stadium's been rebuilt. And the Roosters, geez, they put a performance on.
Is this the lowest scoring game this year, 12-6?
You'd have to think so.
It has to be. We've considered all the blowouts that's happened all this year, but 12-6, what a defensive effort from both teams.
It just gave me finals footy vibes. The way that both teams performed, it was at a great pace, great attack from both teams, plenty of questions asked, especially on that try line, but that goal line defense from both teams was unbelievable. There was players turning up. I thought the Roosters, that's been a part of Trent Robinson's DNA. And if you look back at his success with the premierships that he's won with the Sydney Roosters, that's all been on the back of a great defensive team. So
what do you call that in league? What do you call that zone where you're attacking the goal line? Do you call it, are you guys calling it a red zone or a zone? What do you guys call that area?
Yeah, you can, red zone, you can call it goal line D.
Because I just heard a stat that was the most play the balls inside of that area across like all of this year. And it just showed the defensive efforts, even though with all those play the balls in those areas to still keep it to, 3 tries in total. Mm. Like, it's impressive from both teams.
Yeah, I thought the Roosters, their outside backs made some great reads. There were times where Panthers created the overlap and they got round the winger, but because the centre or the winger got into the right positions to be able to make a play at the ball or, make their one-on-one tackles and shut it down, just shows the amount of work that they had been doing at training. And I remember there was one that comes to mind where Mark Nawanganitawase, he comes up on the centre If he gets that, if the centre gets that ball away, that winger is scoring in the corner. He then puts his arm out, knocks the ball down. They back their D for another set. But they did end up breaking them once, the Penrith Panthers, and that was through a nice Lindsay Smith offload to Moses Leota.
10 out, 10 in from touch, northwest corner. 8-0 Roosters lead.
They score here, Andrew. I reckon it's game back on, right on.
Comes way right to Isaiah Papali'i, but can they score? Hey, Rooster defence, brilliant. Penrith attack. Smith. Dummies in play. Got a one hand on the inside, Leota. Leota for the line. He puts it down. Try. Despite the presence of Radley, try to Penrith. Game on, as you say, Louis. Roosters 8, Penrith 4. 13 minutes 47 to go. Leota crashes over for the Panthers.
He scores underneath the post, but it took 37 tackles inside that red zone or inside that 20 and 67 minutes for them to score that try. So great work to the Roosters. I give a big shout out to Daly Cherry Evans.
The old bull.
The second most capped NRL player, and he scored two tries, the only two tries for the Sydney Roosters. The first one, he dummied and went, took it himself and scored.
31 out from the line, played to Robson. Robson from dummy half, gains a stack of metres. Gets to within 13, 12, 11 of the goal line. They cannot contain him, Penrith. And I think, Louis, you might well end up being right here. Rams into Radley to Walker for Kenny's tackle, 1 metre away from the goal line. Ball played to Walker. Short side left, Walker drops it. Comes back open side right to Radley. Radley decides to tuck it under the arm and take them on up the middle. He's taken by Henry and Lussick and Smith, 11 away, centre field. Two tackles to go. Cherry Evans straight through the middle to score the try. You're right, Louis. Penrith absolutely stuffed it up down the other end. And now the Roosters make them pay. Individual effort from Daly Cherry Evans, and Penrith looks perplexed. We saw this a lot last week against the Warriors. 20 minutes gone. Roosters 4. Penrith nil on NRL Thursday.
And then the second one, there was a nice pass from the hooker, Reece Robson, to Sam Walker. The width of the pass cut out a lot of defenders. Then Sam Walker squares up. They have a lead runner. Cherry Evans out the back. Creates the space. He goes in and scores the second.
Tackle made on Fichetti. Five out from the goal line. They come back right again. Walker, short ball. Collins. Smith is there. He's only half a metre out. Last play, Roosters. Can they wrap it up here? Robson goes right. Walker, they got the numbers. Cherry Evans goes himself. Gets a second and that'll do it. Daly Cherry Evans has turned back the clock. He gets a double. 3 minutes to go. Roosters 12, Penrith 6. The Roosters have been fair to get owned by Penrith. Not tonight, they're going to win. They'll be in top spot on the NRL table. Roosters 12, Penrith 6. Daly Cherry Evans has himself a double.
And then I'll just quickly touch on Penrith. I thought, you know, no, Isaiah Yeo really hurt them in regards to their shape. I thought they looked clunky at times. There were times where, you know, on the last tackle, they were choosing to run and it went to the wrong person, or they would pass the ball to the wrong person, or even people just out of position. But Nathan Cleary, no matter how far behind they are on the scoreboard, it just seems that last quarter, or that last 10 minutes, he'll always try and find a way to get himself in a position to try and win the game.
Yep.
And he done that last night. After Sam Walker missed the kick off the last try from the Roosters, they were still in touch with down by six. Nathan Cleary puts a short kick. They regather, and then he goes to work and just tries to find ways, but just couldn't find that right connection piece on the back of that, on the back of him.
Two things here. Do you think now the commentary around the Roosters being the real deal, do you think they are the real deal now? And then what does this mean for the Panthers after going down to the Warriors, who are, you know, a top four team, and now the Roosters, who are a top four team back to back? What do you think that, where it leaves them?
I think the Roosters have found their DNA. I think that they would have worked so hard throughout the preseason to get to where they are now and use the season to develop. Trent Robinson's style is, you know, build the team and be in the best form come finals footy.
Yep.
And that's something that we've seen throughout this year. They've gone on a massive run. But you think back right at the start of the year, people were questioning DCE.
His age.
What are they, Are they,
the cohesion,
why would they
the
sign
spine,
him?
Yes.
How's the spine going to work? And I remember saying it will take time, but once they click and once it all comes together, they're going to be a genuine threat. Now they're sitting at the top of the ladder, only 3 weeks out from the final. So Roosters are a genuine threat in this competition. And what was your second question?
The Panthers, just having gone down to the Warriors last week, now the Roosters this week, their skipper, Yao, he's not there. Like, are they still playing good enough football at the back end of the year, or are there some worrying signs ahead coming into finals footy?
I think when you lose a piece like Yao, it's a some
adjusting
and some practice at training to figure out what, okay, whoever's replacing them, what style of footy are we going to play? Now, to keep the Roosters to 12 points as well.
Although it's still a good sign.
They were a great team last night, but they still, it's only 12-6, six points. They still had a chance to even up the game in that back end. So they're not far away either. But, you know, you add Yayo, maybe the scores are a little bit different, but watching the game, geez, it was just, it gave grand final vibes. It gave finals vibes where, you know, these two will be the informed teams. Oh, alongside the Warriors as well, I think Warriors. And then outside of that,
Dolphins?
Possibly the Dolphins. I would love to see the Sharks go on a run as well. They need to get their form back on the back of some great form. They just let themselves go, and it's typical Sharks. I hate to be a Sharks fan, but they've got enough time to turn things around. So I would say those three alongside the Dolphins and the Sharkies.
I love it, Brass.
All right, when you look at the rest of round 24, give us the game that you're looking forward to watching.
I think the one that feels like that's most on the line is probably that Bulldogs-Rabbitohs game. I just feel like maybe the winner out of this game does sneak into the eight, and maybe the loser out of this one I don't think can get there. But I feel like there's just this Friday night game, Bulldogs-Rabbitohs. Both teams are sort of, I feel like, are probably similar in the sense of the type of year that they've had, and you think they're going to kick on, but then they slip a game, but then they find their form again, and they've got quality players across the park. So, I feel like that one for me is going to be a crucial one to see how they finish up, if they're going to get into the eight or not.
Yeah, so the Bulldogs are sitting ninth. They are on 26 points. Now the Cowboys and Rabbitohs are both on 28 points at eighth and seventh place. So Bulldogs win, they possibly creep into the top eight and equal points with the Rabbitohs. If the Rabbitohs win, they break away, but it also means that with three games left, the Bulldogs, you know, might find it difficult to get back into that top eight.
Do you think Critters are six? Where do you like to see him? Because it's like I was asking Tiana on Monday, you know, she's been tapped on the shoulder to play like centres, back row, six. And, you know, what does that do for someone like her when you're asked to play this position, but when you know you're great at one position? Like, and for someone like Critter, he's obviously one of the world's best centres, but then you're asking him to play a position at six. Like, how do you see that one?
Well, Critter's won three premierships.
Yep.
What position was he at?
Center.
Yep. He's also played Origin and won Origin. What position?
Center.
Played for Tor Samoa.
Does it make sense to play center?
But he is a very talented footy player.
He can plug a hole anywhere.
He can play. He's actually a talented athlete. Isn't he? He's a great volleyballer, basketballer. He can do it all. He can plug that position in six. But he is a specialised centre. But if he is better than the six that they have, the options that they do have, or as a coach, you think, okay, you need to put him. And the balance of the team, maybe having him at six and then having whoever is replacing him at centre is better than having him at centre and then the six that they do have.
So the team dynamics, where they are, the balance of it, obviously
obviously it's not his best position, but he'll be able to fill the spot. The game that I'm looking forward to is the Broncos versus Warriors on Saturday night. The reason why I say that is because I'm enjoying watching the Warriors play. I love the way that Luke Metcalf stepped up last week.
36 out from the Penrith goal line. 19 in from touch, western side. Play now to Nickel Klukestad. Goes left, Barnett. Then a whole run for Capewell. Sends it back to Luke Metcalf. He's right between the sticks. If this keeps going, the Warriors are going to pump Penrith. Warriors are outstanding. Metcalf the try. And he just took a moment to take it all in. Shut his eyes and just let it soak in his return to the NRL. Warriors 10, Penrith 0. Nearly 12 minutes gone. It's all one-way traffic at Mount Smart.
And
everything about the Warriors, just from off-field, on-field, they've captured me as well, but they've captured everyone. Like, thinking,
I'm not even a Waz fan.
Neither.
Like, sometimes those Waz fans annoy me. But because of the way that they play and the vibe and...
Do you know who swayed me? Sean Johnson and your cousin Lima.
Yeah, okay.
The way they explain the game, the way that they, I'd say the way that they cook in the middle of the field when they're just talking about the Warriors and the style of footy, it's like they've got me. And I think, like,
you know what got me?
Who?
Was that haka.
Oh, absolutely.
That haka got me. Now I'm like, all right, I'm a Warriors fan. Everyone's second favorite
team. I'm on the bus.
I'll jump on the Warriors bus just at that back, though. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to Warriors versus the Broncos. Mitch Barnett playing there, his future teammates, but then also the matchup between Payne Huss and James Fisher-Harris should be a big one. And you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. Sammy, I did say that we were going to talk about this third v fourth game and the NRL tossing up the idea of having it in the grand final weekend, but I know that we've got a bit of rugby union chat to get through.
Oh, you're going
to
save me some space,
so I'll save you the ad break.
Thanks, mate.
And we will we'll talk about that on Monday, but let's head over to rugby union.
Hi, I'm Tegan Hardigan, Bully Pula Hooker, and you're listening to Nation Footy.
Sammy, rugby union now. I'm not usually one to lead us here, but I just thought I would give a huge shout out to Ma'anonu, one of the greatest All Blacks, and as a young kid growing up in New Zealand, to see him do the haka response to the All Blacks, that was quite special, and I must say it brought a goosebumps, a little tear to the eye to see the old legend face the All Blacks, but also have that moment for him and his family. What a special moment.
Mate, honestly, that's going to be one of the most iconic rugby moments for me that's going to go down in history for a long time, that I am so happy that I woke up early to watch that, because, man, to see Ma'a play at the age of 44, and I got to meet him as a teenager. I think he made his All Blacks debut back 23 years ago. To still see him going now, it's impressive, and he'll go down as the GOAT. Best number 12, hands down, after that. And I just think all the love and respect that he got from everyone around the globe in the comments section, just saying, yeah, you're the GOAT, you're the man. And I think for me, he's broken the hearts of Wallaby fans many times by scoring tries and just dominating in that field. But, yeah, I think for every young Pacific Islander kid coming through, everyone wanted to be Ma'anonu at some point, and I thought it was a very, very special moment. Do you think he's the GOAT? Do you think, in your opinion, I know you're not a massive rugby man, but do you think he's the GOAT?
The GOAT.
Number 12.
So 12's
inside centre.
Who else is in that realm?
That's a good question.
Sonny?
Sonny Bill played 12, but remember, Sonny Bill was behind a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, couldn't start over him during the golden eras of the All Blacks. But Matt Guido's another one at 12. A few of the South African players, but just honestly, what comes to my head straight away, it has to be Ma'a in my mind.
There's got to be some other great All Blacks.
Who else is 12? There, actually?
Nothing.
Nah, well,
Highlanders had a couple.
Lima? Nah, he's a 10.
we'll go back to Tame Randall days.
Tame Randall.
There was someone there, surely.
There is. But you know what? Matters for me. He's doing it for me. He's front and centre. But I think, yeah, congratulations to him. Still going, 44 years of age, and he's just doing it for the old Bulls.
I didn't watch the game, but how did he go in his 20-minute stint?
First carry, he takes a hit up against Ruben Love, the number 10, who's at the Hurricanes, won a Super Rugby title for the Canes.
Yep.
Direct, straight at him. I don't even think Ruben Love was born when Ma'a made his debut.
Was it intentional? Like, did he mean, okay, I'm going at
you? I think so. Well, I don't think he was doing anything but just running direct.
Yeah, yeah.
But the game was gone when he came on. But I just think, look, he didn't look out of place.
Okay.
That's for sure. Still had that Ma'a about him, but just
imagine being
a
Ruben
little bit
Love.
Slower.
Imagine being Ruben Love and going, man, that's Ma'anonu running at me right now, and I'm about to tackle him.
Honestly, it was a grandfather type of moment, I think. But now, nah, but what else I loved about that game, though, T, I'm not sure if you saw I guess the All Blacks, what they wore as their number ones. Did you have that as a team when you wear your number ones, as in your suit?
Yes.
Is that what you guys called it for rugby league?
Oh, we just called it a suit, mate.
Yeah, we would call it like number ones or number twos. You know what I mean? So pack your number ones. That's what you wear after the game.
So what's your number twos?
Number twos, like your chinos and a polo shirt. Like that's what.
And then your threes?
Just casuals. So that's how it sort of, that's the lingo in rugby. You didn't know that?
No, we just call it a suit, mate. Suit and chinos.
Yeah, bit of carry on. But anyway, what I loved about the All Blacks, I saw that Rico Ioane, Tana Umanga and George Bauer, they were wearing a tupenu sulu, or I think it's called a ifakanga in Samoan.
Mm-hmm.
They had a custom one made with their All Black suit. And in that moment straight away, I just thought, that is a great example of like the leaders within the All Blacks, you know, coming together and having an influence and shaping the connection between, you know, the individuals and the All Blacks team. Because, you know, the All Blacks have their, what do you call it? They're iconic. They know who they are. They know what they're about. And to be able to have that connection between their team values and their standards and who they are, to be able to marry that up with the individuals, it just showed that how much they care for the individual, that you don't have to leave who you are at the door just because you're coming into an All Blacks environment.
Yeah, I did see that photo on Rico Ioane's post, and as soon as I seen the tupenu, it was me realizing or seeing that All Blacks have embraced the players' cultures.
Yep.
And you could see that they were wearing it with pride as well. And the way that they're just, you know, shining their light through their social media or across the world, but being able to do it with pride and represent their cultures, that was pretty special to see.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. And it just shows that, you know, Dave Rennie, he's created an environment where, you know, what you just said, that identity is fitting into the team. It's part of the bigger picture. It's not separate. And We've had guys like Sekope Kepu come on the show before, where, you know, he wanted to pray before the game, and he's been in environments where he felt like, oh, I better go do this in the physio room and hide away and just not into, like, you know, not that he wasn't accepted, but just he didn't feel like it was part of the picture of high performance. But now, you know, we're seeing the teams here come together and pray together after the game. We saw the Durban, the Sharks. We've seen the Stormers do it with the All Blacks. Now that is highlighted, and it's just having a huge influence and impact on all our young Pacific Islander kids coming through, that you can be proud of who you are and bring it into professional environments.
Yeah, I also want to mention the Warriors when they done their haka.
Exactly.
And how they embraced the whole team, staff and players, and had, you know, the Aussies or the Pakeha players standing behind the Maldives who were doing the haka at the front, but it did look like one. So they all embraced it. They'd done it together. And it just showed that unity within the culture, unity within the club, and everyone embracing everyone's cultures and, celebrating it.
Yeah, celebrating. Now, I thought, well done to the All Blacks. And as I said, the impact of Tana, Dave Rennie, his team, Ari Savea, who has landed in South Africa. So he'll be lining up for the All Blacks very soon, which will be good to see. But, good stuff coming ahead with the All Blacks. They still have plenty more games to go. I think they've got the Bulls next week at Loftus before they take on the All Blacks in a test match. But moving over to the Wallabies, they take on Japan this weekend. I know last week was a close one. You know, when I talked about Japan with other people, T, mm-hmm. their first instance in their mind when they play a test match, you know, Wallabies versus Japan, it should be 60-0. What's your thoughts on the close nature of that game last week? 35 points to 32, I think it was. Do you, like, the first thing that comes to your head with the, if the Wallabies are playing Japan in anything, or Australia playing in Japan in anything, you're thinking, surely it's going to be a dominant performance.
If you told me All Blacks versus Japan, I'd say 60-0. Wallabies, yeah, a bit closer.
fair play. But I've had to explain it a fair few times that, man, Japan, a team that has been on the rise for the last 20 years. Like, they've closed that gap a lot, even against the All Blacks. You know, they've played them, I think it was last year, there was only probably 12 points in that game. It's just a matter of them. If it's a three-game series, that's when it probably blows out. But
they play a different brand.
Yeah, really good brand of footy.
They play their brand of footy.
It's quick, mate, quick breakdown. And what they do is play flat at the line, making sure that that ball just moves to space. So defensively, you sort of, as you get off the ground and you turn, there's already numbers at you.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to get like a dominant shot and slow their ball down and be able to get set. So the Wallabies will need to fix that defensively, and they'll know what's coming at them this week, so it won't be a surprise. But they will be doing it without Joseph Suaalii. He's done his hammy, so he'll be out. But the big man, Lukan Salakai-Loto, he is back in the starting lineup, so it is good to see him in there, because I think he is another Will Skelton type of player. So we'll see the result of that one. But T, I thought we'll just focus heavily on, you know, just the cultural identity of the players of the All Blacks for our rugby union chat before we head over to Nemani Nondolo Kundrani for more rugby union. But before that, where are we going?
We're going to Sala Tongatuki to talk about her West Tigers success and NRLW.
They're on a high, aren't they? The Tigers, up the Tigers. Well, let's get over to there.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes away to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Yes, she is back for Nijin Footy Friday. Sala Tongatuki, our NRLW superstar for the West Tigers. And geez, they are going good.
They must have won last week. That's why she's here.
And they won well.
On the bill.
But she also represents the Fetu Samoa, New South Wales, Jillaroo. She's done it all. Sala Tongatuki. Sala, what a win last week. Tell us about it, over the Dragons. How'd you feel?
Oh, yeah, that one definitely tested us. I don't think it was our cleanest performance, and there were probably a few opportunities we left out there. But I think what I loved the most about that game was that we just stayed in a fight. Even when the Dragons went back in front, there was like still that belief that if we could just get ourselves another opportunity, we could win it. And, man, Ray was massive for us. It wasn't just her kicking game that got us to, you know, good areas, but there was a moment she was calling, she stripped the ball. And then, yeah, with about 30 seconds, like, we had the ball back, and Faith comes up with a little show and go from dummy, and she wins it pretty much for us. So it was a special finish. But, yeah, for us, just winning a game like that probably shows the growth in this group. Sometimes you're not going to play your best footy, and good teams obviously find a way to win, and I thought we did that. So, yeah, I was really happy with the win.
Hey, Sala, just on that play where she does strip the ball out, is that something you've been working on at training, where you've got your three in the tackle, then is there a call or something like that where they break off so she could get the strip in there? Because that was a big play in the game, massive moment.
Massive, yeah. There is a name for it. I'm not going to say it.
You don't need to say it, but tell me about it.
Tell us what it rhymes with.
Damn it. But honestly, like, I think that's just footy IQ. Like, that's the best thing about Ray and her experience is, you know, her, how do I say it? Just, yeah, she just knew, like, not some players wouldn't even think to even, like, try and strip a ball and try and get us, you know, we're still in a good ball area too, and I think some teams would just defend their six and try again too. But, man, I think last time I looked at the clock and before we just had lost the ball, we turned the ball over, I swear I saw 3 minutes, and we knew that we were limited with time. And Ray said she just felt she had grip all over the ball, and she said the word. And I think what was scary about her,
she said the word.
Calling that word, she said the word, but the two players that were still in the tackle with her, obviously you can't have more than one in the tackle to do the strip. We were nervous of the two players in that tackle with her if they knew the word. And I was standing on the side, like, I wanted to yell and tell them, get off her, because if I did yell, it would have indicated indications to the ball carrier to grip it harder, knowing that that strip was coming. So I was just really proud of my teammates that were in that tackle with Ray, that they knew and they let go, and Ray was able to do that. So, yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, it's experience, footy knowledge, but also the awareness from her teammates to, again, like you mentioned, to release, because at that time of the game, players are fatigued, players aren't thinking, but when you do practice things over and over again, you get the results, and that was that was a huge play. And you mentioned earlier, wasn't that pretty? But you'd rather
win
ugly than lose pretty. So
absolutely,
well done to you girls. You know, that makes you, four and two, and only losing to Roosters and Broncos, but winning four other games, and it's already equaled the amount that we've had you on the show for the previous years, I'd say.
Was that more wins in 6 weeks than that's been 3 years?
For 3 years.
Actually, we've actually broken that record.
Yes.
It's so sad but funny too. Like, we've won more games in this season than we have ever throughout my whole time being at Tigers. Holy heck.
Winning sells everything.
It does, doesn't it?
Before we move on to this weekend, the Raiders in the NRLW, they had a huge win over the Brisbane Broncos, 28 points to 4. What were your thoughts on that victory for the Raiders?
That was a massive result. I didn't think many people would have tipped 28-4, especially against a Broncos side that hadn't actually lost in 15 games. So, like, what impressed me the most was Canberra didn't just hang on and upset them. They really actually took the game to them. Their defense, it was physical. And Z and Crystal Blackwell, like, they controlled the game really well. I felt Blackwell created a lot of opportunities on that right edge, which is where they scored their tries. And I don't know, like, Brisbane, like, they were probably a little uncharacteristic as well. Like, that's not like them to have 10 penalties and, like, heaps of errors and just... I think they had a high number in their missed tackles as well. Mm. Against a side like Canberra, you can't give them that much ball and field position because they're going to make you pay, and they did that. So, yeah, it probably just goes to show where the competition is at now too. You genuinely can't take anyone lightly. I was really shocked. But also happy for the Raiders, hey?
I mean, the Raiders, that was only their third win out of the six games played, mm-hmm. and the Broncos were undefeated. So, again, when you look at their defending premiers, the way that they have been playing the first five games and then go down to a team like the Raiders, it's anyone's game on the weekend when it comes to the NRLW. And this week,
100%.
This weekend, you girls have the Warriors. They currently sit at fourth on the ladder, and you girls are at fifth. What a game! And I know we've got knockout tipping comp at the end of this show. Can you girls win?
Yeah.
Yep. Is that a confident?
I'm gonna go. Like, yes. It's doable. It's possible. But if you give away cheap possession and that, like those penalties and that, we're only gonna invite them back into the game. But yeah, they're big boppers. But we all know, like, their strengths comes with weaknesses as well. And we've got some, like, agile, like, just fit middles. I should take that back. They actually have a fit pack too, but.
The bigger frames and then if you've got more agile players and that suits your forward pack, you move the bigger middles to try and fatigue them out and then try and find opportunities that way.
And you're right. Like, and that's it. Like, there's a game plan there. Like, they're going to have their game plan against us, but, like, we actually need to execute our game plan, like, and stick to it. We've been really working hard on, like, limiting, like, getting penalties and that, because especially on the fourth and fifth tackles, like, you know, when you're doing so many tackles, you're just fatiguing, and then you're just obviously going to, like, that's just an opportunity for them to score tries when you're under fatigue. It's a pretty important game in terms of where we want to go this season. Just internally, we're just focusing on putting together more, complete 70-minute performance. There are patches of our game where we drop off. I think in that Dragons game, we only scored in the last 5 minutes. Like, we shouldn't leave it to the wire to then, you know, try and put some points on the board. We need to get back to doing the simple things really well. Our completion, discipline, improved from last week, but we don't want to continually invite a team like the Warriors into your end because they'll make you pay for it.
Just on that, Sally, you know, when you're talking about not inviting them in and stuff like that, you do the little things well. When you talk about your game, do you do a lot on them or is it more on you? So when you're doing your video analysis, you're looking for those opportunities, But is it more like, okay, this is where our game is going to work against theirs? Or is it like, oh, this is what we need to stop. This is what's coming at us. What's more of the focus?
We do a bit of both, but we also, like, we're grateful. Like, we have enough players to mimic another 13 doing a pose, and they do exactly what the Wires do. We know Mila Hufanga, like, she likes to come under those drop balls, but it's just a matter of us tying up and just doing those our jobs as well, making sure we're filling in the gaps, not transferring too much space. But,
No, it's good what you said when you talk about Mele coming under, dropping under. So you're practicing that at training, making sure you stay connected in D. You know what's coming.
100%.
Now you just have to stop it.
But both teams, you'll have your sport players. You'll have players that you want to get to sort of, you can limit them, then they won't have an impact. The game won't go the way it usually goes for them. So I know that there's a couple of us, and you'll see it in the game who they're running at the most. But if we don't ID those opportunities, our cues in that early, when to take it, then yeah, that's on us. We miss it. We miss the jump. We know when we've got ball in hand, we can be dangerous and effective getting down there. But if we just give away, like I said, those cheap penalties or like the sin bin, like in that Sharks game for us, like, yeah, that was tough. It tested us a lot in terms of our defense, like how much we had to try and D up with one less player. But yeah, it's just a mindset thing, really, I reckon. It's something we're working on.
Just finally, there's the grand final rematch this weekend, round 7, Broncos versus the Roosters. This game is played on Saturday at 5:15 Sydney time. Who wins and why?
Tomorrow. I'm leaning Roosters. Brisbane at Suncorp Stadium. Like, obviously, after a loss, they're going to be dangerous, but I definitely don't think it'll look anything like last week. But the Roosters are 6-0. They've got momentum, Aiken's back, and I think their ability to play through the middle and then shift off to the back might be the difference. Like, if you look at their bench, it's going to be a physical game. Both benches actually are just all middles, but the difference with the Roosters is they have Tona Navidi, and she's a versatile player. She can play any position. She's played back row. She's played fullback, wing, and, yeah, I think you can throw her anywhere. She'll do the job in the middle too at hooker.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, I'm going to go Roosters.
All right, well, we will catch up with you next Friday and chat about your game against the Warriors and also that game Broncos versus Roosters. Again, thank you very much for joining us here on Nijan.
Thanks, boys.
Shot, Salah, appreciate it.
And we will talk to next week.
Yeah, all the best this weekend.
Hey, it's Greg Marju from Newcastle Knights, and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
It's been more than 200 years since missionaries brought Christianity to the Pacific. But since then, the region has grown into a rich blend of diverse faiths, beliefs, and philosophies. Pacific Soul delves into these topics and asks the question, what do we truly believe? Join your host, Melissa Makin, for an insightful talanoa on faith, belief, and spirituality on Pacific Soul. Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. PNG time on ABC Radio Australia or where you get your podcasts.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Interception by Big Nemani.
With Nemani Kurindrani.
Yes, Bula Vinaka Dola Vina to our Fijian friend Nemani Nondolo Kurindrani. Vadavatiko, brother, how are you?
Bula, boys, and Bula, everyone. So, yeah, apologies. The clock just sort of stopped here.
There's no clock
for
people
in Fiji. Time stopped in Fiji. It only happens in this country. So I was a bit late. But anyway, boys, I'm here. Yeah, that's the most important thing. I'm okay. I'm fine, and I'm going strong. That's the most important thing, hey, guys?
Don't worry, really, mate. We delayed the show to make sure you're here on time, so everything's worked out perfectly.
Mate, T was ready to go, mate. Get rid of this bloke. Get rid of him. He can't. I was like, nah, trust me, bro. He's good for it. But firstly, just before we get into the rugby union stuff, did I pronounce that right? Vadavatiko. How are you? Is that how you say it?
Yeah. Yep. Vadavatiko. Okay. Yep. It says how are you and what are you doing? More so. I'm doing a lot of things. If you're asking.
Okay. So
how do you say Brad Moore, the coach?
Where's Brad Moore?
Where's Brad Moore?
Papa.
He's coming.
He's coming soon. Have you planted the seed with him?
He's actually in Malaysia at the moment, guys.
Oh, he's in Malaysia.
Oh, he's in Malaysia.
So,
oh, okay.
So, you know, like, there's certain variables, you know, that why he's not here.
Certain and variables.
yeah,
what
Gary
variables? Stop it. What's in Malaysia? Fiji drew a camp in Malaysia, is it?
Yeah, I think so, but he's probably thinking, what the hell is this lemon doing? Oh, it's a very invincible, right? Yeah, no, I think he's over doing some PD work. So, but he'll be back. But
for all our new listeners, Nems was eventually he is going to get the Fiji and Drua, Brad Moore, the head coach, Fiji and Drua. Here on Nijin Footy.
Yeah, he's promised.
But apparently he's in Malaysia today.
Tell you what, Nems, you've promised the world a few times and you keep delivering an atlas, just a map, a page, not the world. But anyway, we'll soon get there because the world is coming.
We'll get there.
That's the main thing. Fiji time. But let's get into the Fijiana Springboks game, the women's game last week. Obviously, the scoreline reflects that it was, you know, one-way traffic with the Springbok women, you know, getting the job done comfortably. But, you know, from your side of things, you were there commentating that one. How was it?
Yeah, well, first of all, it was great to see a team from South Africa come to our shores or come to the South Pacific, you know, whether it was women's or men's, and to have, you know, the Springbok brand on our shores, I think was a great sight to see. It was great for rugby, you know, and it's not something we're used to. Watching the Springboks, usually it's a Fijiana Tonga, Fijiana Samoa, or Australia, both men's and women's. So in that sense, you know, I thank the South African team for coming out, the women's Springbok side. It was, you know, obviously disappointing for our Fijiana girls. You know, they came out firing, but man, the power, the set piece of the Springboks women's side, they were just neck level. I'm pretty sure all their tries but one were all similar replicas of each other, lineouts, you know, mauling, pick and go. And it was interesting to see how their game plan went when they were playing in their halves. They didn't kick it as much, but their long passing game was evident. And you could see too, like, and their skill level was crazy. Just boom, you know, passes sticking. And then the moment as they got towards the try line to Fiji Drua's red zone, it started shortening up. And you can see that as soon as they got into the 22, one pass, pick and go. And, man, they've got some big forwards, and it was a try pass for the forwards. I think one, their front rowers and their locks scored the first five tries. So, it was great to see South African rugby again, but I think the girls took a lot of lessons out of that.
It wasn't a great day to be a forward then, like, you know. So you've been in those positions where you've been a back and you're just watching in, looking in at the forwards, just more pick and go try. Like, what are you thinking about when you're just watching that unfold?
Oh, mate, it was so funny because when you could, as a player, when that happens, you're just like, boys, you sort of feel sorry for them, but you don't, but you do. But anyway, I was seeing the fullbacks, like when they scored, you could just see the wingers on the edge, the feet generally just start walking in. I was like,
they're going to score soon. We'll get under the post.
It was that. And but, man, there was a lot of positives to take out of the Fijiana side as well, man. Like, there's some areas where they showed some glimpse of what they can do. Obviously, the red card didn't help. But, you know, they've got another chance tomorrow. They've got test number two, and they're playing for the Umbutu Bula Trophy. So it'll be good. Another good day of footy in Lotoka tomorrow.
Yeah, nice. And then hopefully it's a better performance and they are practicing defending mauls and you know, fixing up the scrum set piece. But big news, again, out of the Flying Fijians camp, Aaron Major has stepped down. Like, it just seems that there's something not working or aligning with the coaching staff there at the moment around the Flying Fijians. Like, what's your take on this one?
Yeah, it's pretty disappointing to see that. You know, as a world class coach, he's been there, he's done that, and for them to for this to come out, I think everyone's sort of surprised. Well, there's a mixed emotions, really. And, you know, it's just one of those things. I'm sure the truth will come out in the next few weeks once the dust settles. But, you know, to lose someone like as You know, this far out from the World Cup, your PNC around the corner, you've got Nations Cup in November. Like, it just, you know, from outside, it doesn't look good. It looks like there's a lot going on over there for the wrong reasons. But, you know, you just want to hope that, you know, they sort it out quickly, because they've obviously got PNC coming up next month. So it's going to, you know, kind of looks like they've got their backs against the wall. But, again, it'd be interesting to see who they pick and who they bring in. You know, there's a lot of names getting thrown around. But, you know, again, there's a lot of, you know, it's going to be interesting to see who the head, because obviously not only the assistant coach is going, but there's talks about them re-advertising the head coach role. So it looks like there's a lot going over. There's a lot happening over in Suva. So, we'll just have to wait and see.
Hopefully they sort it out soon. But, Nems, we've got to cut you short there because you're on Fiji time. We are getting kicked out of our studio. So, but we'll catch up again next Friday. It's always a pleasure to see you, though, bro, even though we have to cut it short. Love you, Russ.
Thanks, boys.
Every game.
What a brilliant try.
Every week.
Beautiful.
Don't miss a minute of the NRL in 2026.
It's game on, baby. This is remarkable footy.
With Andrew Moore and the best team in the business.
What a performance. What a game. What a team.
Hear it all right here.
Unbelievable.
On ABC Radio Australia.
Game, set, bingo.
Your home of rugby league in the Pacific.
Smoke.
You better lock it up.
You better lock it up.
You lock it up.
Lock it up.
Lock it up.
Lock it up.
Smoke.
Yes, let's wrap up the show, Sammy, with our game of Lock and Smoke.
Where, I'm closing the gap.
Yep, it's our tipping competition. We pick two teams. One will be our lock-in, our most favourite, and the Smokey will be the least favourite to win the game. We keep a score. I'm on 25. Sam's on 21. And at the end of the year,
thank you, loser. Dragons, last week, my Smokey. How good were
the
they?
The loser has to pay for dinner.
Big feed.
And everything at the end of the year. But, yes, Sammy got the Dragons over the Cronulla Sharks, and that was a huge upset. The Broncos were close. They were beating the Dolphins 24-0, and I tipped the Broncos as my Smokey.
I know.
And then the Dolphins come back and beat them. I'm like,
you're death riding the Dolphins.
I don't mind the Dolphins. I do like the way that they play their footy.
Yeah, but when it comes to tipping and you trying to win points every chance you get, you don't care.
All right, so this week, who are we going? Lock in.
Lock in this week for me. I think I'm going to lock in the Knights versus the Titans, NRL. I feel like they're playing some good footy. The turnaround from last year and coming into the business end, I feel like, they're going to lock this one
in. Hey, speaking of Knights, I was there this week and I caught up with Dylan Brown. He was on the physio table.
Yeah.
Just come out of
little
surgery.
Interview.
No jokes. He was doing his rehab work, but just on the back of his injury,
ACL surgery. That's
but
right.
Wished him all the best, and I think he'll come back better and stronger next year.
Nice.
My lock will be, man, surely the Sharks can beat the Raiders. Surely.
Surely.
At home, Cronulla Sharks, lock him in.
The bounce back. I think they'll be sweet for that one. I reckon they'll get that one. Smokey, I think I'm going to go. Oh, this is a big Smokey. And I know that they lost last week against the Tigers, but maybe the Dragons. Oh, this is a terrible Smokey, actually.
Yep, lock it in. Lock it in.
The Dragons to beat the. Who are they playing?
Titans, NRIW.
Titans. I don't know if that's going to happen. But anyway, that's my Smokey. That's all a right. Huge Smokey.
I'll go the Tigers, Sullers team, because they're fifth.
Yeah.
They are playing the Warriors.
Okay.
And she mentioned Mele Hufanga and how
they're good. Trying to shut her down.
Yep. So give us Tigers as my Smokey.
It's because I love you, T. All right. Yeah, give you the
thanks,
Tigers.
Mate.
There we go.
There's the show done for Nesian Footy Fridays. We'll catch everyone on Monday. But until then, tell your Pacifica mates about our Monday and Friday shows. Just subscribe to the podcast. Did I get that
T,
right?
You got that right. But do you know what, T? You know where I asked if you're worried at the top of your show because of Tiana coming on? No chance, cuz that's us.
Yeah.
You ain't going anywhere.
Back.
You're the man,
boss.
It's good that we cook together. Ka kite. Hey, big shout out to the champ, Teta Moana,
yes,
as well.
12 from 12.
Yo,
undefeated champ.
There we go. It's coming to the Cook Islands, the heavyweight champion of the world, but that's us until Monday.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.